Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the all-new KBLU Radio Network. That's the Blue Raven Network. Visit our website at www.1blueraven.beebly.com.
Never replicated. You're listening to the all-new KBLU Radio Network, Blue Raven Network.
FOJC Radio, where truth in the Word of God is found. Good morning, and welcome to FOJC Radio Church. Grab your Bible and your pens and your paper, and when two or three are gathered in His name, the Lord is right here with us. So thank you for joining us, and here's Brother David.
Good morning, and welcome to the February 1st, 2015. And 15 edition of FOJC Radio Church. I am David Carrico, and for the next hour, we are going to be studying the Word of God. Our lesson this morning is God's Preserved Word, Part 2, and it is very cold and raining here in Evansville, where it's going to turn to snow, and we're in for a bit of weather. I hope that wherever you are warm and safe, and have the victory of the Lord in your heart. And we want to be greatly encouraged by the Word of God this morning. And as we do, we are going to prepare our hearts to receive the Word with a time of worship. Then we will be back with our message, God's Preserved Word, Part 2.
You tell me you love me just
success. Here we are in your presence, lifting holy hands to you.
Praise the Lord. And we want to go to the Lord in prayer, and we want to give a shout out this morning to Brother Malcolm and Sister Karen out in the great state of Kentucky. We love you a lot, and you're in our thoughts and prayers. And also want to give a shout out to two of our faithful listeners out in the great state of New Mexico, Norman and Marlene. You also are in our hearts and in our prayers. We want to go to the Lord in prayer this morning, and I usually get up at, I always get up at 6 o'clock on Sunday mornings, and I will get my coffee, and I'll sit here, and I'll read, and I'll pray. And this morning, something unique happened. I was sitting here drinking my coffee, and I went to sleep. Could you believe that? I went to sleep. And I had a dream. And I dreamed that the phone rang. And in my dream, the phone rang, and I picked it up, and there was a woman on the phone. And it was like she was desperate, and I couldn't hear her. I could tell it was a woman talking, but I couldn't hear her, and she was trying to get through. And I think that's showing, the Holy Spirit is showing that there's someone out there in crisis this morning. I don't know whether it's someone listening or not, but I certainly want us to pray about that this morning. And also, Gary's mother is having some problems, so we want to remember her in prayer this morning. And each and every need, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come to you in prayer this morning. Father, we just ask for your blessing and your anointing upon the lesson this morning. We ask for this lady, that whoever she is, that Father, you just meet that need in the mighty name of Jesus. Let her know that there is hope in the Lord. And if this lady needs to talk with us, Lord, just let that happen. And also, Father, for Gary's mother this morning, the needs in that life, for the physical touch and the spiritual touch. Mighty God, we ask you to move in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, we just pray for each and every one this morning that you just make the Word of God real to us. Help Donna to be able to bring forth the things to keep them running smooth. And Lord, also anoint my lips and the ears of the hearer. And we'll give you the praise for everything good that happens. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And our lesson this morning is God's Preserved Word, Part 2. We talked about this last week, and there's so many important things that we need to talk about, because there's just a lot of lie. A lot of people are doing a lot of lying out there. But our position at FOJC Ministry is the Bible position. We stand for the Word of God. We believe that God has given us an inerrant Word, and also we believe that God has preserved His Word. And we believe that the King James Bible is God's words preserved in English. The inspiration is in the Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic words God gave. The preservation is in the King James Bible. And in Psalm chapter 12, verse 6 and 7, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. And last week we talked about how the King James Bible was 7 years in translation, 1604 to 1611. There were seven revisions between 1611 and 1769. And today we're going to find out that every scripture in the King James Bible was gone over 14 times, 2 times 7. In verse 7, "Thou shalt preserve them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." Now, what, Donna? The scripture reference, Donna wants me to repeat it. Psalm chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. And that speaks to the doctrine of Bible preservation. Not only Bible inspiration, but Bible preservation. Now, and we're also going to have another quiz question this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. And we also talked about this. If your belief in the inspiration of Scripture does not go to the extent that the very words of God are preserved, your belief is not strong enough. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." It is the words that the Holy Ghost gives. And we talked about 1 Corinthians 2:14 also last week in regard to Westcott and Hort, how that if you have to be born again to read the Bible, how can you supposedly give the text of the New Testament without being born again? Now, let's go forward. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 12 through 16, and we're going to talk about some more of the adventures of Bishop Westcott and Bishop Hort. And Westcott and Hort, as we said last week, they were the two men that were the principal agents in destroying and changing and perverting the Word of God in their 1881 Westcott and Hort text. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, and note the context here. It says, "Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." And Westcott and Hort weren't just unsaved men. They weren't just bad men. They were evil men and seducers. They knew what they were doing. They were deliberately changing the Word of God, And they deliberately did it to change the doctrine and the message of the Word of God. And last week we talked about the Oxford Movement. Westcott and Hort were both members of the Oxford Movement that were trying, in conjunction with the Jesuits, to bring not only the Church of England, but the whole nation of England back under the power of the Roman whore. But verse 14, and note, this is in the persecution and the evil men and seducers in the Word of God. This is in the context of the scripture about Bible inspiration. Verse 14 says, but this is what we're to do. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, I want to tell you what Westcott and Hort did. They are so evil. They are so evil. And the committee to study the revision of the Greek text was formed on February 10th, 1870. There were 25 scholars in England that came together for this purpose. And there were some conservatives and there were some liberals. And on June 22nd, 1870, before their first meeting, Bishop Westcott said, well, we all need to go to Westminster Chapel. We'll have a prayer service and we'll take communion. Very spiritual, wasn't he? So that we can get together to ask God to bless our endeavor. Well, what they did, there was a man by the name of Vance Smith that Westcott put on this committee. And Vance Smith was the most famous Unitarian preacher in England. And Unitarians, they deny the deity of Christ. And if it's godly, they deny it and they preach against it. And not only did he put him on the committee, but on June 22nd, 1870, Westcott served communion to Vance Smith, the Unitarian, in Westminster Chapel. Well, this just made the conservatives, it was just blasphemy. And a lot of the conservatives, there was a man that was the chairman named Wilberforce. He was a good man. He left. And this gave the liberals the control of the committee. And what they did in 11 years, I said last week, our quiz question last week was, how many places did Westcott and Hort check the Greek text? And I was wrong. It was Brother Gary out there that got that quiz question right. And I, or not right, but he was the closest. And I believe that was just because Princess was probably trying to coax him up to go higher and higher. But anyway, our audience is better informed and more concerned than any audience I know. And we did not have, as a body, really the grasp of how bad this is. 5,604 places. And that isn't just somebody told me this, and I don't know who it was, or I seen it on the internet somewhere, but I have in the Doctored New Testament, I have documented 5,604. I can prove it to you. I can show it to you. Anybody that wants to come over, we'll go through a couple hundred till you get on the team. It isn't just a little bit bad. It's pit of hell bad. And they were evil. They were just evil. That's all you can say about it. Now, in 2 Peter, let's read 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. And this is what we need to understand. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And holy men wrote and preserved the Word of God, and evil men and seducers have been trying to tear it up ever since, and so it is today. And we have to understand this issue clearly, that we can stand against them. And that's what they did. These 25 men for 11 years, they would, Westcott and Hort would say, this says this over here, we need to change it to this, let's take a vote. And these apostate liberals put through these 5,604 changes in 11 years. And that's where these new translations, this is the text that underlies these new apostate translations. Now, in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, the Word of God says, can two walk together except they be agreed? And the obvious answer is no. And I want to talk for a little bit about the two manuscripts that underlie the Westcott and Hort text and all of the modern Bible translations also, and they are called B and Aleph. The two manuscripts, they come from the 4th century, they're called B and Aleph, and Codex B is called the Vatican Manuscript. And they call it this because it was found on a shelf in the Vatican Library. Now, is anybody suspicious yet? It is called also Codex Vaticanus, or the Vatican Book. The other is called Codex Aleph, or Codex Alexandrius, and we talked last week how that Alexandria, Egypt, was the hotbed of Gnosticism, where these manuscripts were produced. And we also even read a quote from Irenaeus that gave us the names of some of these Alexandrian Gnostics that were butchering the manuscripts. But this Codex Alexandrius was found in Egypt in the 1800s at St. Catherine's Monastery at the foot of what they say is Mount Sinai. And it was found there by a man by the name of Tischendorf. Now, it was found in a wastebasket, and you can't make this stuff up. But actually, the monks knew that this was a worthless manuscript, and they were actually burning it to keep warm for the winter. And Tischendorf pulled this out of the trash can, and I would to God that it had been 10 minutes later so the monks would have burned it. But this thing out of the trash can is that and this other manuscript that was found on the shelf of the Vatican Library, Codex Vaticanus and Codex Alexandrius. These are the two manuscripts that form the basis of these modern Bibles. Now, A and B, these two manuscripts, in the Gospels alone, they differ from each other in 3,000 places. A and B differ from one another in 3,000 places. So if they don't even agree, can two walk together except they be agreed? And if they're that different, how can you use these two as a basis of anything? And this is just downright nonsensical. And how that these people deceived people into believing this, they really had some help from the powers of darkness. And that's quite a story in itself. Now let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And these men certainly had a supernatural evil anointing to be able to fool people into believing this. And I want to read in Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and 19, a very, very serious Bible text. Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Look at your neighbor and say, God ain't fooling. God ain't fooling. In verse 19 it says, and if any man shall take away from the words, if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in the book. God does not want anybody to fool with His Word. That's why I don't want anything changed. I mean nothing. Don't fool with my Bible. But this is the facts, and I'm going to ask another quiz question. And the quiz question for today is, how many words shorter is the NIV than the King James? In other words, if you would take the total number of words in the King James Bible, and if you would take the total number of words in the NIV Bible, how much shorter is the NIV than the King James? That's our quiz question for this morning. Go ahead, take a guess, and we'll see what you think. We ought to be getting closer after some of the things we've learned. Now, here are some more facts that might help you. The Westcott and Hort text took out 2,886 words. 2,886 words were taken out by Westcott and Hort. Now, if you add together the words that they changed and the words that they added in, the number goes to 9,970. Now, there's a lot of lies that are going around. And one of the lies, and I want to read Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. And people just need to stop lying or they're going to go to hell. And when people are lying about the Word of God, we know what the instigation of that is. And Revelation 21:8 says, "But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and idolaters and all liars." And that means all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And one of the lies that's going around, and this came from the John Ankerberg show, when Kenneth Barker, who was one of the defenders of the, he's one of the editors of the One NIV and a defender of the New Translations and of the Hort text, and he made the statement that's repeated by a lot of people. He said that there's only 2% of the text that's in dispute between the received text and the Hort text, and that none of these affect key doctrinal passages. And you can already see that this is just a lie. There are 356 doctrinal passages that are affected. 356. And it's much, much more than 2% of the text that is in dispute. And what we have to understand, and we're going to analyze some of these lies that are told this morning, and these lies are motivated by the devil, and they're doctrines of devils. And in John chapter 8 and verse 44, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." And usually, and I've did this for years, and I've heard so many of these lies about the King James Bible, and we're going to go through some of them, the most prevalent. But what I'll do, I'll ask, can you document that? And of course the answer is no. And the second question I ask is, where did you hear that? And a lot of times the people say, well, I don't even know where I heard it. And another one recently said, well, I know it's true because I got it off the internet. Well, isn't that dandy? And this person was a host of a broadcast on another network. You know, and boy, maybe we need to tune in next week to see what great truth they're going to pull down out of cyberspace. But people need to stop lying. And especially lying about the Word of God, because this is something that will send you straight to hell. Now, before break, we're going to talk about one of these lies. And one of the most prominent is that King James was a homosexual. Now, this is a lie. And I want to look at Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1. Now, also, I could say that it wouldn't have mattered if he was or not, because King James did not have anything to do with the translation of the Bible at all. He had nothing to do with it. He authorized it and he financed it. And God used him to bring it about. And I believe it is a lie that he is a homosexual. In Proverbs 21 and 1, it says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will." Now, we need to get a little bit of the timeline of the history here to understand what was going on. In 1560, the Geneva Bible came out, and it was a good Bible, and it was translated on the proper text, and this was done in Switzerland by Reformed scholars. Now, this gave the Catholics so much trouble, because anybody that reads the Word of God, they're going to come out of the Roman whore, and the Geneva Bible was wreaking havoc and causing many people to leave the Roman harlot. So in 1582, 22 years after the Geneva Bible came out, in Douai and in Rheims, France, the Jesuits, and it was a total Jesuit translation, every scholar that worked on the Douai-Rheims was a Jesuit, and in 1582, the Catholics produced the Douai-Rheims Bible to counter the Geneva Bible. And then, in 1604, the translation began on the King James Bible. Now, 1 year later, one of the most significant events in the history of England took place. It's called the Gunpowder Rebellion. And Guy Fawkes, and you can still, I'm sure there's been many, many movies done about the Gunpowder Rebellion and Guy Fawkes, and he had this very unique mask that Guy Fawkes wore. And you'll see this in the protest of Occupy Wall Street, and you saw this in Ferguson, Missouri. People, whenever there's insurrection against the government, people will wear these Guy Fawkes masks. Well, what Guy Fawkes did, he put gunpowder underneath the British Parliament, barrel after barrel of it, and what he was planning to do was to blow up the British Parliament, kill King James and all of the other leaders of England, to not only stop the translation of the King James Bible, but to bring the Church of England and the whole nation of England back under the power of the Roman harlot. But God intervened, and virtually at the last moment, this was discovered. Guy Fawkes was arrested. And in January 31st, we have just passed, yesterday was Guy Fawkes Day, January 31st, 1606, he was hanged. And to this day, people will celebrate Guy Fawkes Day, and they would burn an effigy of the Pope. And it's also interesting that when Washington was commanding the Revolutionary Army, and the soldiers wanted to celebrate Guy Fawkes Day and burn an effigy of the Pope, Washington stopped them. And this shows Washington's heart, because Washington's heart was Rome all along, and on the last day of Washington's life, he sent his slaves to bring the Jesuit priests from across the Potomac, and this is still to this day the place where the Jesuit University of Georgetown is today, where all the commentators at Fox News to go to get their education. And Washington died with the Jesuit baptismal waters on his face 2 to 3 hours before he died. He was baptized by this Jesuit priest. But we have to understand the hatred that the Jesuits had against King James. There was one rumor he was a homosexual. There was another rumor he was a womanizer. Anything and everything. The Jesuits were on an all-out attack against King James. So if you want to be a good Jesuit, just repeat that lie. And these lies, you can't stop people from lying, But I'm going to talk about some more of these lies this morning, and I want to say very clearly that God will hold liars accountable, especially when you are lying about the Word of God. We are in a war here, and this war is about the Word of God. The Roman whore and the powers of hell are attacking the Word of God, and I am going to stand and push back, and I am in the majority, because the saints of God, the true saints of God, are standing with me, and the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost stand with me, and the Word will not return void. And for many, many years, Satan has been trying to destroy this Word, but God will preserve His Word, and God will raise men and women up to defend His Word. And that's what we are going to do here at FOJC Radio Church. Well, we are going to take our first break this morning, and there's a lot more lies and other things that are very important that you need to know about the Word of God that we're going to share with you. So we're going to be right back after this break.
Jesus said to His 12 apostles as He sent them out in Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 through 23, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour that ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee yet into another city. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come." For being a part of FOJC Radio Church. You can contact us at FOJC, Post Office Box 4174, Evansville, Indiana 47724-4174. Or you can call us at area code 812-473-3735. Or you can email us at lastdayschurch@cs.com, or you can check out our website at www.ritualabusefree.org. That's all one word, ritualabusefree.org. That's RITUALABUSEFREE.org. And please remember to tune in next Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time. Thanks and God bless.
You're listening to the all-new KBLU Radio Network. That's the Blue Raven Network. Visit our website at www.oneblueraven.feebly.com.
Opt-in duplicate. dominated, never replicated. You're listening to the all-new KBLU Radio Network, Blue Raven Network.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels feet. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
You're listening to the all-new KBLU Radio Network. That's the Blue Raven Network. Visit our website at www.1blueraven.feebly.com.
Often duplicated, never replicated. You're listening to the all-new KBLU Radio Network, Blue Raven Network.